The next Dibra is Lo Sinoth. And the Ibn Ezra says that people commonly make a mistake. And he said the actual translation, technical definition of Sinoth really includes any act of illicit sexual relations. However, as the Ibn Ezra himself acknowledges, most people think that it means adultery. But he wants to point out that, literally speaking, it is a broader category. However, Rashi already points out that it's not just common translation as adultery, but in fact, that Lamaisa, if you look in the Torah and even in Tanakh, other than in the Dibros, where it's not explicit, you just have two words, lo tinaf, but in other psukim, where this pasuk is reiterated or alluded to or mentioned as well, you have a more explicit association specifically with adultery, and most specifically with a man having an illicit sexual relationship with a married woman that is not his wife. For example, the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chaf, pasuk Yud, v'ish asher yinaf es, esh es ish. So there it's explicitly asher yinaf es, esh es re'ehu. It's talking about a man having this affair with a married woman. And that is, generally speaking, the way we understand it. There are many other arioses that encompass the broader, more technical definition that are all under the maybe niyaf according to Ibn Ezra. But lo tinaf here, we generally assume is referring to, as Rashi here says, specifically adultery, that being of a man and a married woman. As I mentioned, that pasuk in Vayikra, there's an additional pasuk also in Vayikra, in Perek Yud Ches, which focuses again on the man. And there's clearly focusing on the man, that the prohibition is for him. However, the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvot, and others point out that given the fact that the Aseres HaDibros, both in Yisro and in Veschanan, are gender neutral, close enough, that in fact the prohibition is equally applicable both on men and on women. Nevertheless, there is a slight difference, perhaps, and that is with the level of the severity. If two people, a man or woman, willingly have such a relationship, so then it is a capital offense for both of them. However, and the capital punishment is specifically the form of strangulation, although there actually are certain more idiosyncratic, unique cases of adultery in which there might be different forms of the death penalty, but most typical cases of capital punishment would be punishable according to the Torah by strangulation. But more than that, we know that one of the indications of how severe adultery is as a halacha is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Dalid, and the Rambam passes this way in Hichot Yisori HaTorah, Perikei, we know that other arioses too, but paradigmatically adultery is Yaharig Val Yavor, you have to give up your life. Even if a person was threatening your life, either have this illicit sexual relationship or I'll kill you, you have to allow yourself to be killed. And here is where there is perhaps a difference for men and for women. Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin Adaf Ayin Dalid point out that that might only be for man, because a man is considered by halacha the more active party in the sexual union. And that's why Tosfos points out that when the Gemara discusses Esther's relationship with Ahasuerus, whatever the halachic challenges are to Esther's behavior, which is not our topic, and that's what the Gemara there discusses, but Tosfos point out, the Gemara there never assumed that what Esther was doing from her feminine, female perspective was arayo, was lo tinaf. And Tosfos explained because she, as the female in the union, was more passive, and therefore she could allow, as unpleasant as that would have been, for Ahasuerus to be the aggressor and the active one in the actual sexual act, and actually that would be Yarg Val Yavar for a Jewish male, but it wouldn't be for a Jewish female. One of the ways that we also see the power, the horrible power, the destructive power of lo tinaf, of adultery, is the fact that it actually, depending on different mafarshim, creates problems and is a destructive and negative force in so many different areas. By which I mean to say is as follows. Many sources highlight the fact that the shoresh, the essence, the root of the evil of adultery is one of ben adam lechavero. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba says that the word tinaf, lo tinaf, that we have here in the Dibros, in a certain sense is a play on words. It's an allusion to, as it says, al titain af, tate af, that you are bringing God's anger off of God's anger. And not only that, the Medrash says, Al titein af bein ish li ishto. Why does Hashem get so angry at it? Because by having this illicit affair with the married woman, you have sowed the seeds of discord between that woman and her husband. You've brought anger between them. And that form of betrayal is a ben arm l'chavero violation. The Ibn Ezra, the Baal HaKedah, the Sefer HaChinuch, they all emphasize this idea of the personal betrayal, the ben adam l'chavero, of what you have done, nebuch, to the man who is married to the woman who has now cheated on him, betrayed him, and defiled that marriage. And therefore, both the woman who betrayed her husband and her illicit partner are in violation of that. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Tet Amud Bet, as understood by Rashi, makes this point as well, as contrasting adultery with monetary crimes. If you steal from someone, you can at least repay them. But the Gemara says, if you commit adultery, there's no way to undo that. And here the Gemara is alluding to a halacha that if there is a concrete, you know, definitive evidence of an adulterous affair, then the woman is actually prohibited from going back to her husband, even if she's fully regretful, even if in theory he would want to forgive her. But there's a halacha called Asur Labal, that once there's a betrayal of that relationship, they are required to get divorced. So if you have that affair with the woman, you commit adultery, you've done irrevocable damage to her relationship with her husband. And that's another example of the Ben L'Chavero damage that is being inflicted by the person who's committing adultery, the man and the woman who are involved in the affair. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Aleph, has a surprising comment based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel that interfering with a person's livelihood on some level is also a tantamount to adultery, to defiling that person's wife. That seems to be, you know, way over the top, way exaggerated and melodramatic. What it could possibly mean? So Rabbi Feuer, in his book on the Aseret HaDibros, quotes from his Rebbe and his father-in-law, Rabbi Gifter Zatzal, who explains that there's a character flaw that is in common. Of course, you can't compare, hurting a certain person's livelihood in any unfair way and actually having a marital affair, adultery, but there is a common denominator despite the difference. And that is a disregard for the legitimate rights of another human being. If you had a respect for boundaries, a respect for what's mine is mine, but what's yours is yours, I'm not going to take something that doesn't belong to me. Not that a woman belongs to her husband, obviously, but she has committed to that husband, and assuming they're not getting divorced, she has no right, you have no right to mix in. It's not yours any more than someone else's parnasa is yours. That common flaw, again, is part of the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro of not respecting other people and those boundaries. But it's not only that. And there's a fascinating, fascinating insight that in different ways and actually on different psukim is suggested by both the Netziv in his commentary, the Ha'amek Davar, as well as in the Meshech Chachma. And they both point out, even if the root is the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro betrayal of the married man, nevertheless, that's not all it is. Because even if in some hypothetical scenario that married man wouldn't mind, it would still be usher. It's not just about the betrayal of that man. It's usher even without that. The Meshech Chachma suggests, let's say you have a man who's impotent. He cannot father a child. And therefore he would ask a friend to secretively, help his wife conceive. And then he would pretend that he was the father. So maybe he was in on it from the end. It wouldn't make, from the beginning, it wouldn't matter because that's only one dimension. So if it's not only the Ben L'Chavero, what other dimensions are there? So some of Farshim point out that there's a societal factor, and that is that adultery is bad for society. The Sefer HaChinuch makes this point, as does the Ramban, that when you have adultery rampant, then you are losing the sense of paternity. We don't always know who the father is. Unfortunately, in the Western world, in recent decades, this has been a massive issue. We've seen the problem when you have people being married in either people conceiving and having giving birth either out of wedlock or in adulterous affairs, where people simply are growing up without their father, don't know who their father is. So it's bad for society, it's bad for the children, they don't have a father, they don't know who to fulfill, keep it off aim with. The Chinuch says, they might unwittingly have incestuous relationships with people that they didn't even know were their brother or their sister. All of this is the societal damage of Lo Sinaf is also a second dimension, which is kind of a form of Ben L'Chavero on a macro level writ large. There's a third dimension, and that is a Ben Adam La'atzmo. It reflects something rotten to the core about the person himself, irrespective of the damage he did to the society or the damage he did to another couple. It's what it shows about the rot inside of him. The Abarbanel says in Devarim that one of the major goals of the Torah is for mankind to subdue his passions and to learn how to live in moderation and not to overindulge. And one of those gvulot, one of those areas where you're not supposed to overindulge is not with someone else's wife. Just like there are people you're not supposed to marry, certain even within your own marriage, there are certain limitations of time, etc. So to completely be poretz geter, to go me'al any kind of gvul, and to indulge in your lust with someone else's wife, that is a rampant, you know, inability, an extreme inability to subdue your own passion in a way that is very, very problematic. And then, last but not least, there is not only benam lamakom, excuse me, not only benam lachavero, individually or societally, not only ben adam la'atzmo, what it says about you, but then there also is a ben adam la'makom phenomenon or aspect. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, based on a pasuk in Iyov, points out that adultery is the kind of thing that typically happens at night. People are secretive about it, right? They have secretive affairs. They're furtive, they sneak around, because they think no one's going to know. So maybe they think that society doesn't know, maybe they think that the husband or, you know, the spouses won't know, but what happened to Hashem? By hiding like that, they're basically implying that somehow they can trick Hashem, or they can get it, you know, they don't really believe that Hashem watches. That's a Beram Lamakom flaw. Moreover, both the Mechilta and the Psikta, two different Midrashim, point out, as we saw in yesterday's shir, there's a correspondence of the two tablets. And therefore, the second Dibra on each of the tablets correspond to each other. The second Dibra on the right side of Lo Ya'alchim Acherim, you can't have idolatry, idolatrous worship, corresponds to Lo Sinaf on the left-hand side, on the second tablet. That is to say, according to the Mechilta, if a person will betray his spouse, he will eventually betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the way the Psikta says it, if you commit adultery, it is as if you worshipped an idol. So you see this correspondence in Chazal here between the second Dibra about idolatry and the seventh Dibra about Lo Tinaf, and that coupled with the Medrash we just mentioned from Bamidbar Rabbah highlights this other dimension. We have Ben Adam LaChavero, Ben Adam LaAtzmo, and now we have the violation of Ben Adam LaMakom. All of these are violated if a person commits adultery. But just to conclude, in a more positive note, we know that throughout one of the axioms of Jewish thought is Zeh L'umat Zeh, that whatever Hashem says or course says in one way, it is equally balanced and corresponds in the other way. And if this is how bad adultery is, if this is how terrible it is to betray one's relationship, then it's also true that if you can have a loyal, loving relationship, a monogamous, straight relationship without any betrayal and without any cheating, that's something that's that powerfully good. And we see that from the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Ish v'isha zachu shechina b'neihem. Lo zachu, Eish Ochalasan. It's true, if they're not Zoche, what does that mean to be Zoche? So Rashi says, adultery. If a couple is not Zoche, if there's adultery, there's disloyalty, there's unfaithfulness, so then, a lack of faithfulness, so then Eish Ochalasan, the fire will consume their marriage, it'll be terrible. But in Zochu, if they're loyal to each other, if they have a Kedusha relationship that is loyal to each other without any betrayal, Zochu, Shechina b'neihem, Hashem rewards them by having His presence in them. Their family, the unit, their marriage is itself a mini mikdash. Mirtz Hashem, we should learn from how bad Lotinov is to hopefully inspire the kedusha and the loyalty and the happiness of all of our marriages.